This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to class today. Today I'm going to teach on what it means to be spiritual. What does it mean to be spiritual? And the reason I'm teaching on this is because I realized that in African Christianity, we do not understand what it means to be spiritual. Some of us, if we see a masquerade and they are performing a magic somewhere, we think it is spiritual. That's why they say spiritual attack. They don't know different. The attack, the thing irritates me. They don't know. It's a spiritual attack. And they'll be saying it in English. Like, instead of them to say it in their local language, so we know what they are talking about. They don't understand it. What is the spiritual attack? Do they know? A lot of these Christians, especially in Africa, are just absolutely silly. And they would hold their microphone like this. Pastors with scholar, they'll be calling something spiritual attack. What do they know that the spiritual attack? Do they know what it means for something to be spiritual? Is the devil spiritual? Is the devil spiritual? How can the devil use spirits? Is the devil spiritual? Can you, in your wildest imagination, imagine the devil being spiritual? Of course, the devil is not spiritual. How can he be? Can it be? But because of the limitation of the English language and the limitation of people's understanding, they cannot separate what is from what is not. That woman in the book of Samuel, the witch that Saul went to meet in order to find out his future, that witch at Endor, was she spiritual? Was Balaam, son of Peor, spiritual? The priest of Baal, were they spiritual? The priest of Molech, were they spiritual? The priest of Dagon, were they spiritual? All the gods mentioned in the Bible had priests. All the 10 were in Egypt, all the plagues, all the Ra, their sun god Ra, and all the other gods and their priests, were they spiritual? Africans must think. As a believer, you must think. I personally, the reason I'm deliberately trying to break and kill all this nonsense thinking is because a lot of Christians do not basically think. They just borrow a term and then they abrogate the term to themselves. They don't even try to look at it and say, what I'm saying to myself, is it applicable to me? Is it applicable to me? Because I'm a dark-skinned person now. Eh? If they tell me that, JSW, come to the beach, let us go and suntan, I will ask people, what am I tanning? Because it's not applicable to me. What am I tanning here? It's not applicable to, there are some things that are not applicable to you. I'm black. Like, I'm very, very dark. I'm proud of it. What am I suntanning? So when they are talking suntanning, black people should not be wearing bikini and be going out. It is stupidity. Like, if you want to go out to the beach, say you are going out to the beach. Don't say, I want to suntan. Are you dumb? You cannot say you are going to suntan. You are black. Let the people that tanning will work for time. You say, I just want to go to the beach to have some fun. Okay, then you can wear a bikini and go. But don't say you're tanning. Don't be rubbing all those sunscreen on. You are not white. The same principle applies. It's not everything that is applicable to you. Spiritual attack is not applicable to a born-again Christian. See where I'm going? I've gotten there. Spiritual attack is not applicable to a born-again Christian. You are the only one that is spiritual. Every other man is not spiritual. The only one that is born of the Spirit is you. So you are the only one that is spiritual. So you cannot then equate the devil to you and say the devil is spiritual. Devil is not spiritual. Devil is demonic. He is not of the Spirit of God. He has nothing with God. He is not spirit. He is not spirit. He is not life. Jesus is spirit and life. The devil is darkness. Darkness is not spiritual. Darkness is darkness. It's a curse. Darkness is a curse. A witch is accursed. A witch is not spiritual. How can a witch be spiritual? That you are watching a magician is a magician spiritual. If somebody did basically. And carry, I was in, yeah, I was at the Eiffel Tower. These guys, I think they're from Senegal, they were there. They will put one stone on the floor, they will put something, they will not be rolling it. I think I was there with Sister Omovie and Brother David. We were watching them, they are doing this, trying to give people of their money. That's not spiritual, that's being a trickster. People don't know what spiritual is. And because you don't know what it means, and you abrogate it to yourself, then you get into that reality. What a man believes, he becomes. It is very easy for a Christian to change the frequency. It's like you have a radio, a transistor radio, and you can, what do they call it, about frequency? You can dial the frequency. Dial. Yeah, that's the word. You can dial the frequency and tune it to any frequency you want. You are the one that can dial the frequency. If you dial the frequency to darkness, you will get darkness. If you dial the frequency to sorrow, you will get sorrow. You dial the frequency to joy, you will get joy. You dial the frequency to sickness, you will get sickness. You dial it to spiritual things, you will get spiritual things. You see, you are the child of God, the one that has been given the power of eternal life. Therefore, everything in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth are now subject to you. Hey, let me say that again. Oh my God, please give me a chance today. I need to speak in language you guys can understand. Before you became born again, you couldn't access heaven. You are what we call a terrestrial being. Terrestrial being means somebody that is grounded on the earth alone. You can only operate on the earth frequency. In human reality, you had no access to spiritual reality. You are just a man. Most people in the world who are not born again, all the people in the world who are not born again, that is their reality. Be they Muslim, Buddha, whatever. Let them be doing astral travel. Let them be going to caves and be seeing demons. All those things are extra mundane interactions. Hear my word. I said extra mundane interactions. Extra mundane. I didn't say spiritual. The devil is an extra mundane being. He is not a human being. He is a being, but he's not a human being, but he's not a spiritual being. He is extra mundane. Somebody that is something that is existing that we know exists, but does not exist in our realm, and we acknowledge his existence in our mind and reality is extra mundane. Extra mundane is not spiritual. A magician is not a spiritual being. when Professor Pella was alive, he was not a spiritual being, he was a magician. That was why somebody could go in, carry a gun and shoot him and he died. Nobody can kill his spirit. All these things, the level of the ability of our ability to understand things, to put things in their right perspective, is very important. Africans are prone to exaggeration. We like to exaggerate evil a lot because we don't want people to know the good that's happening to us. Many of us, when good things happen to us, we'll keep quiet. But when bad things happen, we will be quick to talk about it. Somebody called me a few days ago, wanted to pay the school fees of his child. So he called me. And I remember that not quite 3 months ago, the same person called me, wanted to pay his rent. And that day, because I've not heard from him in like 3 years or 4 years, I felt okay, let me support. So then I supported him. But I know his character, that if you support him now, he's going to turn you to ATM. I know him. He has always been like that. So he came and he said, "Oh, they're about to throw me out of my house, please. My wife is hungry, this and that." I said, "Okay, I'll come and check you at home." So I went to his house. I saw him at home. If I remember my that day, myself and my wife were traveling. And I said, "Okay, I'll send you the money." So I sent him the money. And then he called again a few days ago, maybe 2 days ago. And he said, "Oh, I need support." And I said, "Oh, I cannot support you." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Why not?" Then he kept quiet for a while. And then he said, "But give me a reason. At least let me know why you are not supporting." I said, "There is no reason I'm not supporting you. Can't I just say I'm not supporting you? I am not supporting you. Go and get a job. Go and get a job, work, and pay your child is going to school. I should come and pay school fees. So I should pay first time, second time, third time. When are you going to work and take care of your own children? I understand the one about rent. They're about to throw you out. But I should come and pay school fees. Never. Your child should sit at home now and not go to school. Or you should go to public school. There are options. But I'm not paying your child school fees." So he was like, "Okay." So he called the cop. The 5 minutes that I called back, he said, "Hey, I know. If you have spent money on some things, you will tell me. If, for example, you have spent, but the way you said it is very callous. You will have said to me that, my brother, you know, I just invested in one scheme. Or I just traveled, I just came back from a journey." I said that, "You don't know me. That is the African way of doing things. I don't do things like an African. I'm going to tell you to your face. Africans like, they will give you an excuse, even if it's not true. If they don't want to borrow you money, they will not come and tell you one long story why they can't borrow you. That's African thinking. That is not the truth. That's fact. That is not the way things should be. If I'm not going, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. You are not supporting, you are not supporting." You see, that is a simple way to understand how Africans think. And why Africans get into trouble all the time with their utterances. The way Africans use words, it gets us into trouble all the time. The Bible says that by your own word, you'll be justified. By your own word, you'll be condemned. Our words are powerful. Yet, Africans, the way we use words, we use words as a. So, when we ought to say two things, we'll say 10 things. And that's how we begin to accumulate vocabularies and terminologies that put us in trouble. That's where we got spiritual attack from. In the process of gathering so many words to express very simple things. You slept, you had a dream. In the dream, you are eating. No, you are hungry. Somebody came and gave you food. You ate the food. When you woke up, you had stomach ache. That's a spiritual attack. It's not. That is a warning to you as a person to guard your heart diligently against realities that do not match your spiritual reality. Things that do not match your spiritual reality. Somebody came to sleep between the dreams, it's not a spiritual attack. Somebody shot at you in the dream. It's not a spiritual attack. That's not spiritual attack. You don't know what spiritual attack is. Spiritual attack is an impossibility. Let me say it again. Spiritual attack is an impossibility. It is not possible because the only entity that is spiritual is you, God, the Holy Spirit, everything of the Spirit. All things spiritual are of God. Therefore, they do not attack themselves. The house of God is not divided against itself. Therefore, angels don't attack believers. Believers don't attack angels. Ministering spirits don't attack believers. Believers don't attack ministering spirits. Everything spiritual, do not. There is no attack in that. There is harmony in heaven. The Bible said it. All the time you read the book of Revelation, did you see angels fighting each other? Did you see angels beating the saints? If you are born again, automatically you have come into the light. Nobody can touch you. Therefore, nobody can attack you. That is the truth. So I want you to understand that truth. I call it the truth. That is T-R-U-T-H, truth. Nobody can attack a believer who is born again and who understands this reality. So let us start with that premise. Yesterday, I was telling you the difference between facts and truth. So this is the truth. Once you become born again, you are full of the Holy Spirit. You have been accepted in the Beloved. You are now seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. So in the true sense of your reality, you are far above. You cannot be attacked. Accept that. Okay. So that is the truth. Now, let me bring you back to fact. My intention is to show you why you have these experiences and why they are based on facts and not truth. So that from today, you will adjust your words. Your words, you adjust the things you define as happening to you. Because when you define that some things are happening to you and they are lies, you give the devil the weaponry to attack you and to subject you to vanity. When Pilate. When Pilate was talking to Jesus, he said, "Will you not talk?" He asked Jesus a question. Jesus is answering. He said, "Will you not talk? Will you not speak? You don't have to defend yourself. Don't you know that I have the power to release you and the power to kill you?" Jesus Christ said, "Hey, shut your mouth. You do not have power over me." See, Jesus quickly, even though Potiphar was governor, and Potiphar could say, "Don't kill him." Potiphar could also say, "Kill him." But Jesus did not allow Potiphar to say something wrong and let it stand. Jesus had been keeping quiet all the while. But as soon as Potiphar said that, Jesus Christ said, "Hey, don't say that. I laid down my own life of my own accord, and I will take it up by myself. You don't have any power over me." That was what Jesus Christ to Potiphar. Because Jesus didn't want Potiphar, a carnal man, to abrogate authority over him, who is a spiritual man. So Jesus quickly told Potiphar, "No, you cannot. You cannot. You cannot kill me. You cannot raise me from the dead. So shut your mouth. Don't go beyond your boundary. You are a carnal governor, a governor in the physical realm. You are not a master of the spiritual world where I dwell. Therefore, you cannot speak." Because if he spoke like that, it would affect Jesus in the grave. If Jesus did not rebuff him, if Jesus did not resist him, it would affect it. Potiphar was literally trying to lay claim to the power to give Jesus life. Jesus said, "No, you cannot give me life. It is written of me that I will die and resurrect by myself. So don't say that to me." That is the position that a Christian takes. A spiritual person takes a position of defiance against claims from anybody that they have power or the ability to hurt them or to harm them using the weaponry of the Spirit, where you are a master. Hey, Akai. Let me tell you, in all the realms, the place where a believer is most powerful is the spirit realm. Physically, you may want to hurt somebody physically, but the Holy Spirit will restrain you. He says we should not fight, so we cannot fight. The Holy Spirit will say we should turn the other cheek, that we should not engage in fist off. The Holy Spirit, if you are angry, the Holy Spirit will tell you, Yeah, don't get angry. That's what we are. So you cannot get angry. You cannot keep malice. You cannot throw stone at somebody. If somebody will provoke you, the Holy Spirit will tell you to turn the other hand, to turn away and walk away. So therefore, in the physical realm, the Holy Spirit does not want us to be aggressive and to be fighting and to be whatever. So he tries, if he strains us there. But you see in the spiritual realm, my God. My God. Ha. If only you know what you are capable of in the spirit, you will not be quick to abrogate that place of your power to the enemy. It is in the spirit realm that the believer reigns supreme. If you understand the class so far, can I see your hand, please? I just need your feedback. Thank you. It is in the spirit realm that the believer does not have any restraint. That's why, right from when a believer becomes born again, the number one thing the enemy tries to do is to flood your entrance into the realm of the spirit with all forms of fearful things. So, a believer will say, when I'm sleeping, a snake will come. I will see dragon. I will see masquerade. I will see myself in the bush. I will see myself in my secondary school. I'll see myself in my past. So basically, he deliberately programs. That's why Apostle Paul will use the term imagination. He said, casting down imaginations. He basically reprograms our imagination in such a way that all of us will be, when you want to sleep at night, you'll be like, I don't want to see anything. I just want to sleep. I just want to sleep. God, please, I don't want to say anything. So you shut down your spiritual antenna simply because you want to have rest in the flesh. Why? Because the devil deliberately would put a lot of things, extra mundane realities, he will put them in our imagination so that we cannot assess our true spiritual nature. He knows that once a believer crosses into the realm of the spirit, he can no longer control that believer again. The devil knows it. That once you become aware, once you become what the Bible called enlightened, he said, when the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, once you become enlightened and you are lit up, it can no longer, you have become indomitable. So one of the things he does is that all over our environment, he programs many things. Let me tell you, if you look at your phone, either you are holy or you are unholy, you are born again, you are born again. If you are on social media, you are trying to write a whatever. Look at your timeline. You will see this person. You will see naked breast, naked bum bum. You will see male and female, sex everywhere. What do you think he's doing? Assaulting your imagination. That's the devil. Everybody thinks sexual content is what will bring them money because they cannot look at their imagination. They cannot do stunts. They are not creative enough to innovate anything. So basically, the only thing that they want to put on video are the things that already exist with just different wordings. And so it is the same thing being repeated over and over again by everybody who says they are content creators. And they all are fighting for a share of the market. So everybody floods timeline with all forms of sexual things. And they are looking at for the most daring people. So they'll start with, oh, wearing short skirts to wearing no skirts. What they are looking for is eyes. They want to trap your eyes. When they trap your eyes, the things you see will come into your heart. They come into your soul. When it comes into your soul, it becomes part of the content. It becomes imagination. It becomes something that blocks your access to the realm of the spirit. It's as simple as ABC. That's Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians said, we cast out imaginations and every knowledge that is not of God. Because once you're able to do that, you have access. Apostle Paul went through that process himself. He said in the book of Romans that, who will deliver me from this flesh? That when I want to do good, I can't. The good I indict my heart to do, I cannot do. Because my flesh, he was talking about those early days when he was struggling with extra mundane realities. But you will notice that this same Apostle Paul began to go to heaven as if he was just entering taxi. Why? Because he was able to overcome those things. And he was telling us how he overcame them. He said, number one, every false imagination. So how do we build imaginations? So in African culture, our culture in Africa is what we call oral culture. Our culture means a culture of spoken words. You have a child. You don't want the child to touch something. You tell the child that, if you go there, Ojuju will catch you. There is something called Ojuju, but you are telling a child that Ojuju. So the child imagines that Ojuju is like something dangerous, something bad. So if I ask, I've done it before, I asked 20%, when you close your eyes and you see Ojuju, what do you see? One person said a gorilla. One person said a lion. One person said a masquerade. One person said a woman, an old woman with a stick. One person said a jackal. A hyena. A hyena. Somebody said a hyena. So you see, Ojuju meant different things to different people. Why? Because it is a product of their imagination. There is really nothing called Ojuju. But because when they were young, somebody told them, if you go there, boogeyman, boogeyman will catch you. They begin, okay, who is boogeyman? Who is Bigfoot? They begin to come up with these things in order to scare a child so that a child do not do something. Instead of just telling the child, don't do it. They don't know that by doing that, they are building imagination. So the child begins to have an imagination of something negative, something fearful, something dangerous. And then that becomes part of the child's consciousness. That child has already, a product of word has already built in him false imagination that is problematic for his spiritual ascension. And as you grow up, you begin to listen to stories from your older people. One say, somebody is a witch. In fact, somebody is a witch. You flew in the night, return to bed, return to cockroach. The more you hear such things, the more you begin to have imagination of them. Some of us here, you will sleep at night. You are about to sleep in your own bed. You have switched off the light. Suddenly you have this feeling as if, hey, you could go and put on the light again. You are like, something scary. Yeah, there is something there. It is just your imagination now that is overflowing, that is making you feel eerie, E-E-R-I-E, making you feel strange in your own bed. Why? Because your imagination is powerful. It is a product of your thoughts. It's a product of your consciousness. It's a product of your reality. Why? How do witches and wizards assault people? Using imagination. People begin to tell stories of which somebody turned to bed is flying. There is no video evidence of it. There is no picture evidence of it. There is actually no evidence of it. It is a lie. That's the truth. But a lot of people begin to talk about it, and before you know it, people begin to see it. People begin to see it. And at no time would you see anybody who see it, who would have any evidence. In fact, one of the things the devil then does is to make witch begin to confess. So somebody will now begin to confess, and the person will say, oh, I flew to South Africa. I kidnapped people. So because the person is a self-confessed witch, and the person is saying it, you then will believe it. You say, how can somebody be saying he flew to South Africa? Meanwhile, the Bible told you that the devil is the father of all liars. All his children are liars. So he put lies in the mouth of people. Why? To convince other people of his reality, that he is real. So the devil does not mind taking one person that you will kill, allowing the person to say all sorts of things. Why? So that you can believe what that person says, because he knows you are not afraid of him. So you have an environment that nobody is a witch there. Everybody is happy. Everybody is fine. And suddenly somebody says, I'm a witch. I'm killing people. I'm killing people. And then everybody hears him. And suddenly that time when you want to sleep, you begin to feel cringy. You begin to feel creepy. You see people saying, I cannot sleep. See that witch confesses today. My heart is doing pru-pru-pru. My leg is doing pru-pru-pru. What has happened? It has assaulted your imagination to the point where it has entered into your subconscious and it is making your body feel uncomfortable. You can feel physically uncomfortable listening to somebody who says he's a witch, sharing the gory details of his witchcraft. That is how he builds imagination in people, so that people then believe that he is real. Now, that can work for unbelievers because the devil wants to continue to control their minds, to continue to control their imagination. He wants them to come and pay offering. He wants them to do sacrifice. He wants them to continue to. The more people worship the devil, the more they tell the devil that we believe you are real. So we are giving you physical offering. No, you don't, they don't see him. So they will carry sacrifice. They will go and put it somewhere. They will say, we believe you are real. Therefore, we are worshiping you. We believe you are real. Therefore, we are worshiping you. Do you understand that in Africa, there was a time when everywhere they were worshiping idols? And then Christianity came. And somehow all the idols and all the gods that they were fearful of and they were giving sacrifice, all of them disappeared. Did you not cross your mind? Did you not wonder that how can gods disappear like this? Like, were they not supposed to fight for their territory? If they are real, are they not supposed to fight for their territory? Are they not supposed to say no? Jesus, stay in Rome. Stay in Rome. I'll be staying in Jerusalem. This is our own territory. Go on. Why are they not sharing territory? Why did Jesus come here and all the gods of our forefathers disappeared? Simply because they switched belief systems. Because they switched belief system, everything they were giving to the gods, they stopped giving them. And the gods disappeared. That already showed you that it is just an illusion of reality. It's not reality. So, but if you believe it, you will then experience it. You believe it, you will then experience it. Because you are going to be a product of your own belief. The devil has no power over a believer, 100%. That is the truth. But if a believer then begins to confess, that make you laugh. So some years back, when I was attending the church, the pastor of the church used to, they used to talk about the devil a lot in those days. Every time, the devil is powerful. Devil is this. Devil is that. So one day, he said, oh, declare that the devil will lose his power over you. And me, I was in church. I said it in a note tone. I said, dear devil, dear devil. Know that these are the people that are insulting you. Me, I didn't insult you. I'm here. When you want to punish anybody, punish the people that are insulting you. Don't punish you. I was young. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to pray. But in my head, I'm thinking, if all of them are insulting him, why would he beat you? Just be friends with him. Because they had assaulted our imagination so much that is real. After I became born again, I realized one thing. Only God is real. Only God is true. Only God is light. Only God is life. God is absolutely Alpha and Omega. There is none but Him. There is none before Him. There is none after Him. Every other thing is just vain imagination. Every other thing. Jesus Christ said it clearly that He has put the devil under our feet. He has defeated the devil squarely and completely on the cross. Totally. There is no fight for the born again Christian. We came to the victory party. We are not called to a war. He didn't call us for the battle. He didn't say, oh yeah, saddle up. We are going to fight the enemy. No. He has fought the enemy. The Bible says he has triumphed. All hail. That was what he said when he appeared to Mary Magdalene, when he appeared to them he said they should meet him in Galilee. When he appeared to them in Galilee, he said, all hail. Jesus has triumphed completely. We were therefore invited to Galilee to come and celebrate his victory over death, over the devil, over every work of darkness. We were called into a victory parade. That was our invitation. When I came into Christ, I came into a victory reality. I came into a victory lifetime. I came into a victorious mindset. I didn't come to fight a battle. I have never, ever entertained that thought in my heart that I came into Christ so that I can be fighting boxing with the devil. No, the devil has been put under my feet from day one. From day one. That is what the scripture says. That is the truth. But a lot of Christians in Africa, they don't know that. Even though that was what the Bible said. Everything I'm saying is from the scriptures. They don't know that. Somebody somewhere will tell them stories. These stories are not true. These stories are product of some people's imagination and product of some people's belief system, because they believed in the devil, and therefore the devil is acting with them. And because the devil is acting with them, they will not carry that reality and come and share the story with you. There was a man that died in the hospital some years back. They called him a shepherd of oil. I think he died in 1986 or 1987. I was a child when he died, but I saw it on the news. Some years later, I got to secondary school, and I discovered that the children of this man were my classmates in Olivet Baptist School, Oyo. They were my classmates. He had died. And they were, so they would not be talking of charms. They said that the way their father died, it was somebody came to him that wanted to buy land from him. He followed the person to a piece of land he wanted to sell. Then the person tried to assassinate him. He said the person shot him. The bullet did not penetrate him. The person tried to use the machete. It couldn't work. The person tried everything. It didn't work. Then the person poured acid all over him. And that it was the acid that killed him. So in those days, they were hailing him as a very powerful man, because bullet and other things couldn't penetrate. So that lent some credibility to the fact that they had a lot of charms, right, as a family. So when I would meet the children in secondary school, I noticed that children, they don't pay attention in class. They don't read their books. They're always testing charms. Today, they will bring this ring. Tomorrow, they will bring one handkerchief. Next tomorrow, they will bring one scarf. They will bring mante. They will bring all sorts of things to school. And they will be testing it among themselves. So I used to watch them, because I know they have no future. They can't speak English to save their lives. All they concentrated on was the charms that they were doing in their family. And I was a Christian. And I would be looking at them, I'd be thinking, these people have power over bullets, right? I don't. In those days, I used to think like that. They have power over this. I don't. They have power. And we are saying we serve the living God. And these people are the ones that are using this. They have power over all these elements. When I was 17, I used to think about such things. Those thoughts became an imagination in my heart. And I didn't know. Maybe 4 years ago. Long after I've left those people behind in my life, I was sleeping. As I was sleeping, suddenly I saw the boys, these same boys, I saw them in a dream. They sat before me. I sat opposite them, and they had in front of them cups full of acid. Then they challenged me. They said, "Can you drink this acid? If you drink it and you don't die, we will give you this. If we drink it and we don't die, you will give us this." It was like a bet. I was born again at the time. I was full of the Holy Ghost. But this was a dream. And these people are challenging me openly. Say, "Do you think you have power? Drink this acid. That we can drink it and nothing will happen to us. Can you drink it and nothing will happen to you?" Well, it was a vision. I'm like, why should I drink acid in my sleep? I know some people, they will just sit in their sleep and they will say that from there they had cancer and they will die. Some people, they will say something happened to them in their sleep. They will say they had this thing, they will die. So why should I be tempting fate and be eating in my dream or be drinking in my dream, especially when I know it's acid? So I was like, no, I wasn't going to take it. Then they began to mock my God. They began to laugh at me. "You don't have anything. You are calling yourself a Christian. You cannot drink it. Look at us. This was what killed our father. Now we can use it to drink gari. We can use it to drink conflict. We can use it to drink guguru." They were saying all sorts of things. And I stood there and I just felt, what is it? So I took it and I drank it. Drank everything in front of them. Then I dropped the cup. Then I woke up. Hey! When I woke up, I was like, "Hey! Hey! You went on drink." Then the Lord said to me, "Nothing can harm you. You have to trust me. Nothing can harm you." I jumped up. I'm going to speak. Ah, fine. Get up and everybody, you will not have to, you will not. Suddenly the Lord said, no, you are not getting it right. That is not what you should be doing. So I stopped. I said, what should I be doing? Then I remember, ha, hey, Kaya, Asuti Kane. I remember the word of God. I remember the word of God. Then I said, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. It was angels that gave a meal to Elijah. It was angels that appeared to your saints. What my imagination saw was not the devil coming to give me anything. The devil cannot come into my imagination. I belong to the Lord. So if I will see anybody in my dream, it has to be angels. And the thing I was seeing was a play out of my, no. You have given me anointing. This is anointing that I've taken into my system. Thank you, Jesus. I began to scream. I began to speak in tongues. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, for you cannot bring the devil into me. The Bible says you cannot cause the devil to come and tempt me, for you tempt nobody. This is the word of God. Why would I believe what I have seen when the word of God is contrary? So I switched to the word of God. Ah, yeah. I began to thank God. I began to jubilate. Ah, we receive anointing plenty. Yay, glory. The Friday that followed, I went for a program. They invited me to preach somewhere. I got on the altar. I announced to everybody. I said, on Tuesday, the Lord visited me, three angels. They gave me a cup of anointing. I drank it. And from that moment, I've been feeling this anointing overflowing over me. Everybody, lift up your hands. When I said Jesus, I said Jesus once, they said Jesus once, everybody fell under the anointing. You see now, I could have accepted that the devil could enter into my spiritual space, and I will take that in as a curse, and I will take it as sickness, and I will take it as an attack, and I will go to pastors, I will say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Meanwhile, it is, I will be acting according to my imagination. Are not according to the word of God. However, the Bible says that we are supposed to be moved only by the word of God, not by the things we see. I am not moved by what I see. Hallelujah. We sing it. We are not moved by the things we see. The word of God defines the truth, defines the status of a believer. The word of God defines what can happen to you and what cannot. If it says nothing shall by any means hurt you, that is absolute. Jesus Christ said, behold, behold. Behold, I give you power. You will trample upon snakes and adder. That is absolute. Jesus himself speaking. It wasn't a fact. It wasn't hearsay. The things he said are absolute, for he is the truth. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Then you saw something, you ate something in this in your sleep. Which one would you believe? Most of us will believe the fact. Based on what we saw. And then we begin to act according to what we saw, saying that somebody attacked us spiritually. Meanwhile, that does not align with the word of God, which says that nothing shall by any means hurt you. When you walk through the fire, I will be with you. Through the river, it shall never flow you. Rather than the claims he do upon you. For I've said the coast, I bear the coast in the fire. Ah, no weapon that the fashion against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Behold, this is the evidence of the servants of the Lord. And the righteousness of this, says the Lord. So this is the word of God. The word of God on one side, what we saw on the other side. Most of us, 99% of us, we always choose what we saw. And as a result of choosing what we see, we will then act. Based on that thing we saw, I will be following a lie, and then we'll get into trouble. You understand the class so far? Why see your hand? Is it simple? Is this simple enough? Is it causing a change in your system? Is it clear? Okay, thank you. Had a pastor friend. He's dead now. He was coming from work and somebody told him. The person said, ha, Pastor, we need to pray. I suspect in my spirit that I need to take some time to pray. So We got home and began to pray. Then he saw himself in a coffin. We saw it. It's imagination. God didn't show him. God does not show things, all those things that many of us would attribute to God showing us. Because we don't put them in the light of the word of God. So all of us are quick to say, God showed me, and the God will show you everything. God does not show you as a parent, you don't show your own children everything. I've seen people that will be driving, there's an accident on the road, they will cover the face of their children. I've seen mothers. If you are here as a mother, you are driving and you see, maybe you are traveling with your children and there's an accident on the way, and you naturally would immediately cover the eyes of your children. Can I see your hand, please? As a mother, you are here and you just do it instinctively, just to say you don't want your children to be traumatized by that thing, and you just cover their eyes. Thank you. No, it's important. The reason I ask is because, thank you, put out your hand. It's because we don't do these things to our own children. And yet we would be saying that God did it to us. It is silly. See, God showed me to, I saw myself in a coffin. God showed you in a coffin. How can God show you? If God wants to kill you, God will show you triumphant entry. God will show you heaven. God will show you your place in heaven. God, the coffin is nothing to God. The grave is nothing. A Christian does not go to the grave. A Christian, the grave has been defeated. So a Christian does not go to the grave. If you put the body of a Christian in a grave, you are just burying the terrestrial man. The celestial man has gone to heaven. That is the scripture. So God does not have anything to do with the grave. There is no hope in the grave. So this man saw himself in a coffin. Ah, he said, my guy, I had the revelation. I said, what is it? He said, I saw myself in a coffin. I said, nah. I said, no. I said, that revelation is a lie. He said, why? I said, because it's not scriptural. Bible says that, oh death, oh grave, where is your, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? He has defeated the grave. So therefore, God does not show his own children in the grave. It is not scriptural for God to show you in the grave. If you see that thing, it's your imagination. The devil is trying to use your imagination to cause you to make a mistake, to cause you to do something silly. But you, if you act according to your imagination, you will then act and you will get into trouble. So I told him, I said, no, this is not God. This is not God. This is not the word of God. The word of God says that they shall live. You will not die. Are you feeling sick? No. Do you need to see a doctor? No. Stay at home. Don't go anywhere. Don't act. Don't allow the devil to lure you out into danger. Just stay where you are. You are safe. I told him. He said, okay. I went to work. Then I was talking at Tony Village. Maybe around 12 in the afternoon. He was alone in the house, so he began to feel restless. Ah, hey, this thing I saw. This thing I saw. So that death will not come and kill somebody in the house. If death will kill me, that was him talking, not me. Death cannot kill me. I belong to the Lord. I have eternal life. I belong to the Lord. I have eternal life. I'm teaching a class. That's why I use that term. I do not speak like that to myself. So he began to tell himself, if death will kill him, it will kill him in a church. If the devil wants to kill him, the devil should kill him in a church. He cannot sit at home. He forgot that where he was is the temple of God. It has something to do with church or house. Where I am is the temple of God. If where I stand, if I sit somewhere at any time, I'm the ambassador of God there. I carry God inside. God is not somewhere that I have to run to God. But he doesn't have that understanding. He got in his car. He has been fasting for, I think, 4 days. He has been fasting and praying for 4 days. No adequate sleep. No adequate food. He got on, was going to drive to Redemption Camp. He had an accident on the Long Bridge and he died. Now, everybody around him are like, and the devil, and God showed him that too. I said, God didn't show him this thing. God didn't show him this thing. This is not God, shut up. So those days when I speak, all the other pastors and people, they will be acting as if they will be saying, why are you always contrary? Why are you always contrary? Somebody told us that he had a revelation and then he died. And you are saying, I said, this is not God. It's not in God's character. How can you say God will just wake up and kill one of his children? You have 5 children. How many of your children have you cooked? Have you killed? You don't kill your own children. You are saying God killed his child. No, this is the devil. He laid what you call an ambush. The devil will lay an ambush in people's imagination. Let me say that again. The devil, there's something we call dream casting. Some of you don't know it. I can't do it for you because if I do it, all of you are not PSSBC students. So you have not heard me for a long time. So if I do what I want to do now, some of you will sleep tonight and you begin to have certain funny dreams. I don't want to give me a bad name, so I cannot do it. But this is how it goes. Somebody takes a powder, puts it on a paper. The person then says, words. These are not real words. I'm just making them up. And they will not have effect, any effect on anybody. I declare it in Jesus' name. They now say, oh, you powder, as I blew you into the air, mixed with the atmosphere, anybody that inhales you, let them begin to feel stomachache. Let them begin to feel headache. Let them begin to have rashes on their body. Let them begin to have alopecia. And you say all sorts of things like that. And then the person would say that, call the name of one demon or another to it. Then you blow the powder in the head. Then the person will go and sit down. This person is looking for money. Then the powder will go into the air and the demons will run with it. Then when the demons run with it, people will be sleeping in their houses. They usually do it at 1 a.m. at night or 10 p.m. or late in the night or early in the morning. People are sleeping when they do it so that people's consciousness is at the better state. When people are at their alpha, they usually don't get afflicted. When people are at their beta, when they are sleeping and they are in a semi-conscious state, it is easy to enter into their imagination and give them funny dreams. So those people will be sleeping, they will just have, all of them will just have funny dreams. In the dreams, they will see that butterflies on their body or cockroaches on their body, or they have these scabies, and when they wake up, all of them will have it. All of them will then come for this man for treatment. This one will now charge all of them $100, $200. That's how he make his money for that day. He has used what you call an illusion through the imagination to cause physical effect on somebody to come and give him physical money. There are people I know, and I also do it, who can begin to speak to you. And the person will tell you, he'll be speaking to you, just speaking to you, and you'll be listening to him, and you'll go into hypnosis. Or somebody will be speaking into you, and the person will tell you, right now, your tummy is moving, you feel like using the toilet, and your tummy will react immediately, and you feel like going to the toilet. There are people like that, with what you call silver tongue. So all these things are part of the gimmicks that the extra mundane people use to lure people so that they can get customer, so that they can gain belief, so that somebody can begin to heal them as powerful, so that people can have a consciousness of evil in their mind. A believer is not supposed to fall for these things. You see the way Apostle Paul handled, you see the way Peter handled the bad Jesus. See the way Apostle Paul handled the demons. Both of them faced sorcerers in the New Testament. Did you see the way they handled sorcerers? One told one sorcerer to go blind. He said, you'll be blind for a season. And the sorcerer was powerless. One told the sorcerer, banish with your money. Sorcerer came to beg and said, please, please, don't let this thing happen to me. Sorcerer was begging. It's in the Bible. As in, the early Christians had no fear of sorcerer. They had no fear of witches. They were the ones in charge because they were the spiritual one. And yet, we became born again. We are the ones that are afraid of sorcerer. We are the ones that are afraid of witches. We are the ones, we are afraid of everything. Why? Why? Because we do not know our inheritance. We believe so much in facts that are not real, and we do not believe in the truth that the word of God has stated clearly. And it is my duty to point you to the truth and show you what is spiritual and what is not. Make sure you don't miss the class 10 p.m. tonight. I'll conclude this class on spirituality tonight. And in the class, I'll show you pointers as to how to walk truly in the fullness of your spiritual nature as a born-again Christian. It's time to give our offering now. Glory to God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I want you to give this offering with thanksgiving. Just want to give a word of thanks, please. Just do it. Just give thanks. Give thanks to Him. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Just give thanks, please. I'm asking you to. I'm asking you to. The word of the Lord came to me just now and just said, give thanks. You know, I was about to start talking about why we are giving offering and all that, but he said, just give thanks. So that's why I'm asking you to just give thanks. Just give thanks. With the fruit of your lips, that's your words. Say thank you to him. Give thanks to the Lord for your salvation. Give thanks to him for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have. Give thanks to the Lord because you are untouchable for the power of darkness. Give thanks to him because he is cleaning your imagination. He is curing your imagination, curing you of demonic dreams, ideas, words that are sat so deep in your heart that are contrary to the scripture. Curing you of the things that you think you saw or the things that you really saw, but that are just illusions, like a mirage. Things that are not real, false appearances, but that are appearing real. Is that not the definition of fear? They say fear is false appear, false whatever appearing real. That's exactly what the devil likes to do. A spiritual person only sees angels. A born-again Christian, we interact with angels. We interact with ministering spirits. We interact with fellow believers. We interact with heaven. Heaven is a living entity. We interact with the throne of grace. We interact with God. Spiritual people in the Bible, go and check them out. Ezekiel, he never saw a demon in his life. All that Ezekiel saw were heavenly beings. It was a spiritual man. Look at Jeremiah, spiritual man. Look at Jesus, spiritual, 100%. Look at Elijah. Look at Elisha, spiritual. All the spiritual people in the Bible, they never saw one demon. They never saw one witch. They never saw one in their dream. They never saw anything like that. They dealt with all these extra mundane realities in the physical. They never had one dream that somebody came to their dream and the person was beating them. Never. Never. If you understand scripture and you see the example, you will see what I'm saying. All these things that they've used to assault your imagination, you should purge yourself of them. You are the spiritual being. Extra mundane beings are under your feet. You are from above. And the Bible says, he that is from above is above only. The devil cannot ascend. You can ascend and descend. See the difference now? So when you believe wrong things, you descend. I'll tell you that about tonight. And that is why you see all these wrong things. Because instead of going upward, your spirit goes downward. So you descend. When you descend, you begin to see all these demons, all these spirits, bad, all these things, sitting in the dream, all this assault. They are all products of hell. Because the Bible says he has given you power. Therefore, you can go upward, you can go downward. The devil cannot go upward. He can't go to heaven. He can only stay downward under your feet. And if you give him room, he can operate a little bit on the earth. Because all that will give him room. For you, what the truth, you are free. You can only go upward. You can only go upward. You belong to the Lord. But if you go downward consistently, you begin to have experiences of downward things. You begin to say, oh, a spider is moving in my head. Something is moving in my tummy. Something is moving. All those things, they are products of extra mundane realities that have something to do with the born-again Christian who has been enthroned in heaven. Therefore, give thanks for this reality. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless his holy name.
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.